This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, PSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer. Plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
Here's a good idea. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Matt Pajeski, round of the board. Thank you, sir. He comes up with great. Great bumper music. Hey, welcome to Camel X. The text line is overflowing this evening, and glad you are involved in the show. And here's a shout out. I got a text from a guy. He says he's a farmer and he's out working in the fields before the sun comes up and way after the sun goes down, and they're always listening to Camel X. So thank you. Thank you very much for listening to Camel X. We appreciate that. And, you know, that's one of those things that you don't think about. How often do you sit down to eat something and you sit and think about who put this together? Somebody had to go out and pick the fruit. Somebody had to go out and get the grain and to make the pizza dough or whatever it is you're having. Somebody had to make that. Somebody had to milk the cows and get up in the morning and do all the work necessary so you can order a pizza. Somebody had to do that. And our hats off to those hard workers out in the fields to bring in food to market so we can enjoy great food like pizza. Speaking of pizza, yeah, I know I've mentioned it three times. Here's why. Because yesterday was National Pizza Day. Actually, National Sausage Pizza Day. And so I wanted to get Matt Pajeski on here because a couple of things I wanted to find out here as we talk about pizza. Matt, what's your favorite pizza?
I like a thin crust pepperoni pizza.
A thin crust pepperoni pizza. Any particular? I mean, do you just like the Emos?
I love the Emos. I love St. Louis Pizza and Wings.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite restaurant used to be Cucinelli's in South City, but they closed a couple years ago. But always down for some Emos.
Always down for some emails. Well, I go the exact opposite. My favorite is the thick Chicago style. I just love that.
It's good, but it's un-St. Louis of you.
It is. You know, I know. I hate to say that. But I do. You can't help what you love, and I do love that. So my wife and I, we had to go to Chicago a few weeks ago. I had to depose a doctor up there. So my wife comes along, and the first thing we did when we got there, we went and got pizza at some Chicago pizza place. It's, to me, it's the only good thing about Chicago.
Was it Lou Malnati's?
I've been to Lou Malnati's. Oh, that is the best. Yeah. There wasn't a Malnati's where we were, because that's what I was looking for. And I tried a case with a guy in Chicago, and we went out for pizza afterwards, and we went to Lou Malnati's. And then like a month later, he sent me a frozen pizza. They ship them.
Wow.
They ship them in boxes, and they got some dry ice in there. And you can actually order them, and they ship them to your house.
That's awesome.
It was excellent. So what do you think is the number one topping on pizza in America?
Assuming cheese is not the answer.
Correct.
Okay.
Because if it doesn't have cheese on it, it's not a pizza.
I'll say sausage.
You think sausage is number one?
And then if we're going to keep going down the list, I'd say probably pepperoni after that.
Flip them, man. Flip them. Pepperoni is the number one. In fact, according to a recent poll, 36% of all pizzas have pepperoni.
I would be that guy. I'm part of that 36%.
Yep. And sausage comes in number two. And then once you get past that, it's just an amalgamation of onions and, let's see what else is on here. Mushrooms, black olives, green peppers, pineapple. And, pineapple invokes... People either love it or they hate it. There's no middle ground on pineapple.
I hate it.
You hate it. You went right to hate. It's just right to hate right there. I'm one of those few that are in between. I like it. I don't love it, but pepperoni's great. Sausage is great. I ordered a pizza once. There was a place called Riddell's. It's long since closed when I lived in the Central West End. And my wife and I, this is when I was in law school, and I was starving. I know you look at me now and you're like, dude, you don't look like you're starving. Well, I'm not starving now, but in law school, I had no money. So we ordered this Riddell's pizza, and I had no money. I hadn't eaten all day, and I thought, there's no way this is going to be enough. And this pizza, it was a thick crust pizza. This pizza came up, and Matt, I'm telling you, it probably had 3 pounds of sausage on it, just on one pizza.
Wow.
I ate one slice, that's all I could eat. It was the thickest. It was amazing.
That's how you fell in love with that Chicago deep dish pizza.
I did. Right there. I was hooked right there from then on. So it was truly the best. Now, here's another question for you. Which, based on the number of locations, what do you think the largest pizza chain is?
Ooh, I would say Papa John's.
That was my guess. I will tell you, I took this quiz and I guessed that Papa John's. Mm-hmm. Nope. Papa John's is third.
So, okay. I would have to guess maybe Little Caesars or...
Little Caesars is fourth?
God, I'm getting worse. Okay. Domino's, I don't know.
Domino's is second.
Okay.
With 6,571 locations. And this shocked me. Pizza Hut, number one.
Really?
They've got 6,605 locations. They beat Domino's as of last month. They beat Domino's by about 35 locations.
All of those top pizza joints, among my least favorite, to be honest. Yeah. It's the fast food of pizza.
Well, it is. And when we're ordering pizza, most of the time I will order a Domino's if we've got to have something at the house. It's really good. But I thought Papa John's would have been number one.
For sure.
So missed that question, and I'm not afraid to say when I'm wrong. And, coincidentally, I'm not afraid to say when I'm right either. Not a problem. Hey, coming up, someone who's not in the right, and I always try to do those transitions, someone who's not in the right is there's some problems right now with City Council member Lisa Clancy. So I wanted to reach out to Joe Holloman over at the Post-Dispatch. He's been covering this. And he's going to break all that down for us. But also, I got to mention this as we go to the break. Pizza people texting in bacon pizza. They love bacon pizza. Matt, thumbs up?
Big thumbs up.
Big thumbs up. Yeah, anything with bacon on it. I'll eat shoe leather if it's got bacon on it. And you got to have at least two toppings, says one of the texters. You are exactly right. Hey, we got Joe Holloman coming up next. Don't go away on KMOX.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
Epic views, waterfall mists, summit sunsets. It's all better outside. And with AllTrails, you can discover the best of nature with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today and find your next adventure.
You know, the St. Louis County Council, at least from my perspective, they're more dysfunctional than the Kardashians. So then the latest dysfunction involves County Councilwoman Lisa Clancy and the ethics probe into work with a law firm that she did related to a marijuana dispensary. So joining us this evening to break this down, and I mentioned it at the end of last hour, is Joe Holloman of the Post-Dispatch, who's really been covering this story from the outset. Hey, Joe, welcome back to KMOX.
Brad, how are you?
I'm doing great, sir. It's great to hear your voice, and glad you're available this morning or this evening.
Yeah, well, so am I.
Yeah. Well, hey, before we get into the latest news that you covered here recently, what's the backstory here for folks that haven't been covering this? What's the backstory with Lisa Clancy and the marijuana dispensary?
Well, starting, I guess, at the very beginning, it goes back to 2019, late spring, summer of 2019. And what was going on then is medical marijuana had been approved in Missouri. And so the county, along with a ton of other municipalities, were adopting their zoning code ordinances, working on them to govern where dispensaries could be located, sort of like along the lines of taverns and nightclubs and such, this far from a school, this far from a church.
Sure.
And you know, so a lot of it boilerplate. And So that was going on, and Lisa Clancy, of course, member of the county council. About that time, in around June, Ms. Clancy began working under a contract, not as an employee, for a law firm that was involved in the filling out of applications and filing for various people wanting to have a dispensary license. And Ms. Clancy was hired to engage in grant writing and filling out these applications, in essence. And one of the companies that she was working for was one that eventually ended up getting a dispensary license in unincorporated St. Louis County. The council was not made aware of this, and there was no public declaration of it, that she was working there while at the same time debating and discussing and trying to refine these zoning ordinances, the aforementioned zoning ordinances.
Yeah, well, let me stop you there, Joe, because at this time, don't members of the county council have to disclose their income and the sources of their income?
There indeed is a requirement. And, of course, as you can imagine, there are lawyers who would like to argue as to what level of disclosure there has to be. It seems like rules that politicians write about these sort of things tend to be vague. So
what?
I'll leave it at that. But it was certainly not known that there was this connection between her and this law firm, and then also working with the council to come up with the zoning ordinances. And during those debates, Ms. Clancy was the one most in favor of buffer zones and, you know, how the distance between your dispensary and some sensitive location. Those buffer zones, she was supporting the ones that were wanted by the dispensaries. So she was working basically in the council to make the ordinances as beneficial as possible to the marijuana industry. And as she said at the time, also to people who need the medical assistance of marijuana as being her reasons. But nevertheless, she was backing the industry standards. And that's sort of the crux that the ethics committee has then taken over, is whether or not this constituted a conflict of interest, and should it have been disclosed that there was this connection.
Now, speaking of disclosure, Joe, I need to mention, speaking of disclosure, in 1988, 1989, and the beginning of 1990, I was a law clerk at Summers, Compton, and Wells. So never worked there as an attorney. I was just the kind of guy that they would kick around when you're in law school. But I did at least want to mention that because I did actually work there. That was a very long time ago. And even then, I did not have hair. So that shows you how long I've been bald. But
I was going to say that's
Yeah, that was like 35 years ago. I was still bald then, so it didn't make any difference. But about that, now you started to talk about this committee, and I understand that there's an ethics committee that's been formed to look into this, and County Councilman Mark Harder is the chair of that committee, and he sent out some questionnaires, didn't he, to some of the interested parties in this to try to investigate whether there's a conflict of interest?
He did indeed. That was his second step. The first step was is that the committee met, Councilman Harder and three other members, Harder and Tim Fitch, both being Republicans, Rita Hurd Days, and now I'm forgetting the fourth member of the committee, the newest alder person, and I will come up with it. Shalonda Webb. So Shalonda Webb and Rita Days, Democrats, Fitch and Harder, Republicans. And they had called for a hearing and asked those people to attend to answer some questions. And of the five people that they requested to be there, none of them showed up at the committee hearing. And then so what they did was did questionnaires and sent out by certified mail these questionnaires asking them for their involvement. The deadline from that was October 5th. Was October 5th. So on Monday, I began calling the Councilman Harder told me that they hadn't received reports from anybody. So I began calling the five, trying to get a comment as to why they didn't. One of the five is former Missouri House Speaker Stephen Tilley, who's a major lobbyist for the marijuana industry, is the only one who responded about a couple of hours after I first called him. So it had come in after that. So look at that. And so it has been the people who have been involved, the committee's tried to talk to, are not talking, is basically where we're at.
So where does this go from here? And I wanted to get you on to talk about this. Of course, we're talking to everybody loves Joe Holloman from the Post-Dispatch. So listen, I love you 11 months of the year. The only month of the year that I don't love you, Joe, is when you and I swap emails about whether Die Hard is a Christmas movie. But other than that, you know, listen, I love you, man.
And even though you're wrong about Die Hard, I love you too.
Well, we'll have to agree to disagree on that one. But this isn't a story that if you weren't covering this, I don't know that we would be hearing anything about this. So I'm glad that you're covering this because, at least from my perspective, one of the greatest responsibilities of the media is holding government accountable, and you're actually looking into this. So where do we go from here? Now, we know that there was the questionnaires that were sent out, and four of the five didn't respond. So what's the next step, and where do you foresee this going?
I don't, in a sense, but that's on purpose. I don't like to think about where a story will go in that. What I've done, and you talked about holding government accountable, I think more of a case, even less pointed, is just to put out there information that would seem to be worthy of address by any number of people, and one of them being like an ethics committee for this council and the county government. And what the people who have roles in this do will probably be the next story. What are they going to do?
Mm-hmm.
People need to do their jobs. Here's this issue, and do with it what you think is appropriate, and I'll be there to write about it.
And we'll be reading it at stltoday.com.
I hate to predict, other than I'm just like it's like you're farming some conclusion about something.
Right. No, I knew that. I was just wondering what the next step was.
No, I get it.
And the next,
and so it's going to be, what do they do?
Yeah.
Obviously something has to be done, and we'll see what that is. But the information is out there, and if it doesn't result in whatever activities anybody wants it to be, that remains to be seen. So it's like a stay tuned.
It is a stay tuned, and we're glad that you're covering it. Joe Holloman of the Post-Dispatch. Hey, thank you, my friend, for joining us this evening on Camo X.
Pleasure being on here, Brad. Take care, buddy.
All right, talk to you soon. Yeah, I see. To me, this is, I'm sorry, as I was reading the story and listening to Joe, I was just thinking about that great scene in Casablanca where Humphrey Bogart is talking to Claude Rains and the Nazis come up and they're questioning whether there's gambling going on. And Claude Rains says, I'm shocked that there's gambling going on in this establishment. And then a guy comes up to Claude Rains and hands him a wad of cash and says, sir, here are your winnings. He goes, oh, thank you very much. As Lisa Clancy is doing work for a marijuana company, and then she's also drafting the regulations that govern a marijuana dispensary, you're shocked that that's not a conflict of interest? Of course it's a conflict of interest. And what also is interesting to me, and I didn't get into this with Joe, but one of those individuals, one of those five individuals that have yet to respond is Winston Calvert, who's the former chief of staff to County Executive Sam Page. And there's some texts that were released to the Ethics Committee that shows that Sam Page knew about it. And yet when he was asked, he said, this is the first I've heard about it. I know nothing about it. And to me, that is the proper role of government holding, or rather the proper role of the press is holding government accountable. And I'm absolutely thrilled that Joe Holloman is doing that. What do you think about what's going on in county government right now? Think about all of the scandals, all of the issues, all of the problems, all of the infighting, all of the backstabbing. What do you think about county government? And are you getting, if you're in the county, are you getting the county government that you deserve? Give us a call. In fact, I've got a text I've got some texts on this story. If you've got some ideas, give us a call, 314-436-7900. We'd love to have your input here on At Your Service. We'll be right back. Speaking of marijuana, we all know that that's going to be on the ballot in November here in Missouri. It's going to be on the ballot to legalize the recreational use of marijuana. And I've spent a lot of time on this show previously going through the reasons why I think that's a bad idea, legally, morally, ethically, economically, systemically. There's lots of reasons why it's a bad idea. I'm not going to go through all that again. But the one thing that I want to mention that most people don't know is one of the elements that's in this provision that's not being discussed in any way. And that's this. In addition to making marijuana legal to possess, legal to use, and legal to even grow, if you're, I believe, over the age of 21, there's a provision in there that does two things from the criminal justice system perspective. Number one, if you are currently in prison, if an individual is currently in prison for a marijuana-related charge, that person will be released from jail or prison. Secondly, if a person has ever been convicted of a marijuana-related charge, then that conviction can be expunged from your record. That's the part that is getting no attention, but frankly should get a great deal of attention. And let me tell you why. If somebody calls up and says, Brad, I think that recreational marijuana should be allowed. It's no more harmful than alcohol. We can debate that. And I think that reasonable minds can disagree on whether or not marijuana is or should not be legal. Reasonable minds can disagree. But here's the part where I don't think reasonable minds should ever disagree on. Because let's look back at, say, 2015. If someone is imprisoned in 2015 for possession, maybe that's too far back. How about 2019? Imprisoned for possession and distribution of marijuana. As of 2019, that was illegal. That was illegal under state law, and that was illegal under federal law. The person who was arrested and convicted for that charge knowingly broke the law, knowingly and, you know, with intent aforethought, broke the law and was punished for it. So just because now marijuana may become legal, why should we literally forgive the sins of that person in 2019 when in 2019 what they did violated state law? Why should we forgive them of that? Why should we release them from prison? And why should we expunge their record as if it never happened when in reality it did happen? That person knowingly broke the law and faces the consequences of that conduct. And now the consequences of that conduct are being removed. In addition, it was reported today that the cost, the state of Missouri is going to incur a cost of $7 million for the cost of expunging, and that's a fancy legal term that means taking it away as if it never happened, expunging the records of the convictions of individuals who are either in prison or have been in prison or have been convicted for marijuana-related charges. So this is the part where I don't think that reasonable minds can disagree, but nobody knows about it. That's why I'm talking about it right here on the 50,000 red hot watts of KMOX, because you're not reading about this in the Post-Dispatch. I wish you were. You're not reading about it in the Missouri Times. You're not reading about it in any other state publication that I follow. And that is this idea that people who have knowingly broken the law, if this provision passes in November, are going to be completely forgiven of breaking the law. Now, in what other area, where you go, if you go rob a bank, there's no circumstance where that gets expunged from your record. You know that stealing money from a bank is illegal. You do it, and you're caught doing it. Fill in the blank for any other crime. There's no situation where that is expunged from your record in such a manner as this will be with marijuana. And to me, that bothers me. It bothers me as an attorney, and it bothers me from an ethical perspective. Because you in law school, one of the things you're taught about is that in crime, in criminal activity, there's what's called the mens rea. That's a fancy way of saying you had the intent to commit the crime. And if that individual in 2019 knowingly broke the law, they had the requisite mens rea, the requisite intent to violate the law. It's not like that the cops broke in and a guy is sitting in his trailer with garbage bags full of weed and a hookah, and he says, "Wow, dude, I didn't know this was illegal." I mean, that doesn't happen, okay? They were arrested because they knew it was against the law, and they got caught. And all of a sudden today, we're going to say, you know, it's all right. It's all right. I knew you that you intentionally broke the law, but today we're just going to say, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Nobody cares. It's just weed. It doesn't matter if it's weed, pills, or anything. If you knowingly break the law, you should face punishment for that crime. Again, we can debate what that punishment should be, but no punishment should not be an option. And a complete and total erasure of that conviction should not be something that is done by an ethical society. And yet that's what's going to be done right here if this passes. And I've looked at the polling data. I've seen Governor Parson talk about the polling data. I think the polling data is pretty clear. This is going to pass, and it's probably going to pass by large margins. It's probably going to be 60-40, 65-35, something in that neighborhood in November, and it's going to pass. So Missouri will join our neighbor state of Illinois and many other states by allowing the recreational use of marijuana. And but I don't know of other states, maybe there are, but there we shouldn't be looking at this situation where they simply expunge the record. And what's interesting is
this episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
Speaking of marijuana, we all know that that's going to be on the ballot in November here in Missouri. It's going to be on the ballot to legalize the recreational use of marijuana. And I've spent a lot of time on this show previously going through the reasons why I think that's a bad idea, legally, morally, ethically, economically, systemically. There's lots of reasons why it's a bad idea. I'm not going to go through all that again. But the one thing that I want to mention that most people don't know is one of the elements that's in this provision that's not being discussed in any way. And that's this. In addition to making marijuana legal to possess, legal to use, and legal to even grow, if you're, I believe, over the age of 21, there's a provision in there that does two things from the criminal justice system perspective. Number one, if you are currently in prison, if an individual is currently in prison for a marijuana-related charge, that person will be released from jail or prison. Secondly, if a person has ever been convicted of a marijuana-related charge, then that conviction can be expunged from your record. That's the part that is getting no attention, but frankly should get a great deal of attention. And let me tell you why. If somebody calls up and says, Brad, I think that recreational marijuana should be allowed. It's no more harmful than alcohol. We can debate that. And I think that reasonable minds can disagree on whether or not marijuana is or should not be legal. Reasonable minds can disagree. But here's the part where I don't think reasonable minds should ever disagree on. Because let's look back at, say, 2015. If someone is imprisoned in 2015 for possession, maybe that's too far back. How about 2019? Imprisoned for possession and distribution of marijuana. As of 2019, that was illegal. That was illegal under state law, and that was illegal under federal law. The person who was arrested and convicted for that charge knowingly broke the law, knowingly and, you know, with intent of forethought, broke the law and was punished for it. So just because now marijuana may become legal, why should we literally forgive the sins of that person in 2019 when in 2019 what they did violated state law? Why should we forgive them of that? Why should we release them from prison? And why should we expunge their record as if it never happened when in reality it did happen? That person knowingly broke the law and faces the consequences of that conduct. And now the consequences of that conduct are being removed. In addition, it was reported today that the cost, the state of Missouri is going to incur a cost of $7 million for the cost of expunging, and that's a fancy legal term that means taking it away as if it never happened, expunging the records of the convictions of individuals who are either in prison or have been in prison or have been convicted for marijuana-related charges. So this is the part where I don't think that reasonable minds can disagree, but nobody knows about it. That's why I'm talking about it right here on the 50,000 red hot watts of KMOX, because you're not reading about this in the Post-Dispatch. I wish you were. You're not reading about it in the Missouri Times. You're not reading about it in any other state publication that I follow. And that is this idea that people who have knowingly broken the law if this provision passes in November, are going to be completely forgiven of breaking the law. Now, in what other area, where you go, if you go rob a bank, there's no circumstance where that gets expunged from your record. You know that stealing money from a bank is illegal. You do it, and you're caught doing it. Fill in the blank for any other crime. There's no situation where that is expunged from your record in such a manner as this will be with marijuana. And to me, that bothers me. It bothers me as an attorney, and it bothers me from an ethical perspective. Because you in law school, one of the things you're taught about is that in crime, in criminal activity, there's what's called the mens rea. That's a fancy way of saying you had the intent to commit the crime. And if that individual in 2019 knowingly broke the law, they had the requisite mens rea, the requisite intent to violate the law. It's not like that the cops broke in and a guy is sitting in his trailer with garbage bags full of weed and a hookah, and he says, wow, dude, I didn't know this was illegal. I mean, that doesn't happen, okay? They were arrested because they knew it was against the law, and they got caught. And all of a sudden today, we're going to say, you know, it's all right. It's all right. I knew you that you intentionally broke the law, but today we're just going to say, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Nobody cares. It's just weed. It doesn't matter if it's weed, pills, or anything. If you knowingly break the law, you should face punishment for that crime. Again, we can debate what that punishment should be, but no punishment should not be an option. And a complete and total erasure of that conviction should not be something that is done by an ethical society. And yet that's what's going to be done right here if this passes. And I've looked at the polling data. I've seen Governor Parson talk about the polling data. I think the polling data is pretty clear. This is going to pass, and it's probably going to pass by large margins. It's probably going to be 60-40, 65-35, something in that neighborhood in November, and it's going to pass. So Missouri will join our neighbor state of Illinois and many other states by allowing the recreational use of marijuana. And but I don't know of other states, maybe there are, but there we shouldn't be looking at this situation where they simply expunge the record. And what's interesting is if you know any libertarians, a lot of folks, it's really chic now today because a lot of times conservatism is a bad word. Shouldn't be, but it is. I don't mind labeling myself a conservative. It doesn't bother me at all. But in some circles, it is. So if you listen to people like Rob Lowe, okay, he's in Hollywood. He's it's really funny. My daughters say, he's such a pretty man. That's what they say about Rob Lowe. But if I've heard Rob Lowe interviewed and he's accused of being conservative, he says, no, I'm not a conservative. I'm a libertarian. Now, listen, I'm a political science major in undergrad. I'm very well versed in the differences, the philosophical differences between conservatism and libertarianism. I understand it completely. But practically speaking, and if you think I'm wrong, call me up and tell me. I love it when people call me and tell me I'm wrong. But really, what libertarians are conservatives that want to smoke weed. That's really what it comes down to. And every time I've been in this circumstance where I've got somebody say they're a libertarian, if they're being honest, I say, listen, you like to smoke weed, don't you? Yeah, I like to smoke weed. Okay, fine. You just proved my point. Just like my theory that juries will never issue verdicts in the morning because they want to stick around until after lunch to get a free sandwich. It always works out to be true every time, 100% of the time, guaranteed. And so in this instance, if you talk to somebody that says they're a libertarian, if you can get them to be honest, they're probably just a conservative that likes to smoke weed. That's fine. That's okay. I don't care. But even the Missouri Libertarian Party has declined to endorse this marijuana legalization initiative. Even the Libertarian Party of Missouri has said, no, we don't want to sign off on this. We don't want to do this. And even the Missouri Democrat Party has said, we don't want to endorse this. So how interesting is this that no political party is going to endorse this ballot initiative, but it's probably going to pass by 60-40. I think from a political analyst perspective, this is fascinating. And of course, you know the arguments. It's going to boost state revenue. It's going to reduce the illicit market for weed. I mean, there's a lot of arguments, and I could go through and point out all the flaws in all of those arguments, and I'm not going to do that. But just think for a moment, if no political party, no major political party is going to support this initiative, and yet it still passes. In some ways, it makes me question about, number one, the intestinal fortitude of our political parties, but also why they won't take a stand. But, I mean, more in particular, are people slaves to political parties? And at least from this perspective, they are not. They are not. And I will give my hats off here to the Missouri Democrat Party in this way only. When asked about this provision, the head of the Missouri Democrat Party said that the Missouri Democrats would not support the legalization of marijuana specifically because of the expungement provision and how the licenses would be allocated, the licenses to sell recreational marijuana. But at least half of the reason why the Missouri Democrat Party is not going to support this is because of this idea that people get a get-out-of-jail card free, literally. I'm not even using that as a euphemism. It's literally a get-out-of-jail card free. Here you go, pal. Pick up your watch and your wallet, like we've seen at the end of Shawshank Redemption, and you're out on the street, okay? We're going to let you go. To me, that's wrong. And I hope more people understand that before they blindly cast a vote for yes just because they want legal weed. So there's more to it than that, and I hope that you will take that into consideration. Hey, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we've only got one segment, and I always have more stories to talk about than I get to. But one story that I absolutely want to get to is this idea that the state of Missouri and other states are now expanding their lawsuit, alleging that the federal government has colluded with social media to censor freedom of speech. To me, it's outrageous, and we'll break it down right after this at your service, KMOX. Hey, before I get to the social media story, I gotta mention this. We oftentimes in this country, we have this idea that criminals are like James Bond villains, that they're all basically Jeff Bezos. They've got billions of dollars. They're diabolical. They've got these complicated plans, and that only James Bond can figure out how to thwart them. And folks, that's just not true. Most criminals are not very bright. That's why they're criminals, okay? And I mention that because I love stories that highlight the, I don't want to say cognitive decline of the criminals in this country, but that's really what it is. We got a person in New Jersey. This came out today. This individual, she was wanted for fraud, and she had warrants out for her arrest. And lo and behold, she went into a New Jersey sheriff's office and wanted to fill out an application for employment because they were hiring. And so she was a former postal worker, 27 years old, from Jersey City, who was actually on the run because there were all of these warrants out for her arrest in Pennsylvania. So she goes into the New Jersey sheriff's office, fills out an application for employment. Do you know what happens when you fill out an application for employment? I represent lots of employers. You know what they do? They run a background check on you. That's what they do. And if you've got open arrest warrants for you, and you're applying for a job in the sheriff's department, What do you think is going to happen? Yes, that's right. They gave her an all expense paid trip to the Gray Bar Motel. That's exactly what they did. So criminals are not diabolical geniuses. More often than not, they're just not very bright. And this proves my point. But no, back to this bigger issue. Eric Schmidt, candidate for Senate, he'll be the next senator from the state of Missouri. There's no way he's going to lose unless someone comes up with pictures of him with a goat. Otherwise, he's the next senator. Now, having said that, he has filed, along with the attorney general from Louisiana, has filed a massive lawsuit against the federal government. It's not getting a lot of attention, and it should, because it demonstrates how the federal government is using social media to squelch free speech. This is something I've talked about a lot before, but the reason why I'm bringing this up now is because Eric Schmidt and Louisiana Attorney General Jeff Landry announced yesterday that they've filed a second amended complaint, adding an additional 47 defendants within the federal government. They initially had 20 defendants. Now it's been expanded to 67 defendants within the federal government, including President Joe Biden. What are they arguing? Well, we all know it. I'll make it as simple as possible. We all know the argument: the First Amendment doesn't apply to private companies. It only applies to the federal government. So if Twitter wants to squelch your free speech, they can do that legally. It doesn't violate the First Amendment because they're a private company. However, if the federal government is telling Twitter to squelch your free speech, now that's a different ball game. Legally, that's completely different. Think about every mafia movie you've ever seen. Any mafia movie you've ever seen. There's always some kind of a scene where the feds are working with some informant, and they put them in a wire and they send them in somewhere, and he gets information on the bad guys. And that happens in every movie. But in those circumstances, when an informant is working for the federal government, that informant, the phrase is he or she is working under color of law. That phrase means is that they're essentially working at the request of the government, and therefore the same restrictions that apply to the government also apply to that informant. So there's no searches and seizures without a warrant, so forth and so on. So that kind of theory is really what's at stake here, because if Twitter or TikTok is squelching your free speech, then at that point, if they're doing it at the request of the federal government, it now violates the First Amendment. And this lawsuit has just expanded, like I said, to 67 defendants. And the judge in this federal case has already granted an expedited discovery phase. What does that mean? That means they get to send out subpoenas. They get to take depositions. They may even depose President Biden. Now, the president typically has an immunity to being deposed, because the idea is that the president is too busy, the president has too many responsibilities, and cannot take time to sit down for a deposition. I agree with that. But that may not apply to the president's chief of staff, Ron Klain, the presidential spokesperson. That kind of immunity doesn't apply to all of these other individuals. And I mention this in the context of just this week, TikTok. TikTok has started censoring and kicking people off of their platform if they use the phrase "White Lives Matter." Now, we saw Kanye did this. He wore the shirt that said "White Lives Matter." White Lives Matter, and he got a lot of pushback about that. But now TikTok is saying we're going to kick you off the platform for saying that. Is that illegal to say "White Lives Matter"? No. Is it immoral? No. Is it unethical? No. Then why should social media companies be allowed to kick you off for simply expressing an opinion? Because you know what? White lives do matter. They don't matter more than black lives or brown lives or any other lives. But all lives matter. All lives matter. So if it's okay to say black lives matter, then why isn't it okay to say white lives matter or brown lives matter or, more importantly, all lives matter? And TikTok is kicking them off. Also, TikTok has constantly got battles. And Twitter previously had battles with this company called the Libs of TikTok. Have you heard of this? This is a Twitter group. They've got a guy's got a Twitter page, and literally all he does, and I follow him on Twitter, all he does is that he takes TikTok or Twitter postings from individuals and he reposts them. He doesn't say anything. He doesn't add to it. He simply lets the progressive left say what they want to say, but to an audience, a broader audience than their closed-in progressive group. And it's hilarious. And I would highly encourage you to listen to that. But if the federal government is encouraging the censorship of free speech, don't we want to put a stop to that in this country? Of course we do. Because the only cure for censorship is free speech, not more censorship. And that's what the left does not understand. But what you understand is that you're listening to Camel X. And I want to make sure you stick around, because at 10 o'clock, we've got the best of Dave Glover. Don't go away. I'll catch you next Wednesday. At your service, Brad Young. Hey, before I get to the social media story, I got to mention this. We oftentimes in this country, we have this idea that criminals are like James Bond villains, that they're all basically Jeff Bezos. They've got billions of dollars. They're diabolical. They've got these complicated plans, and that only James Bond can figure out how to thwart them. And folks, that's just not true. Most criminals are not very bright. That's why they're criminals, okay? And I mention that because I love stories that highlight the, I don't want to say cognitive decline of the criminal, of the criminals in this country, but that's really what it is. We got a person in New Jersey. This came out today. This individual, she was wanted for fraud, and she had warrants out for her address, or for her arrest. And lo and behold, she went into a New Jersey sheriff's office and wanted to fill out an application for employment because they were hiring. And so she was a former postal worker, 27 years old, from Jersey City, who was actually on the run because there were all of these warrants out for her arrest in Pennsylvania. So she goes into the New Jersey sheriff's office, fills out an application for employment. Do you know what happens when you fill out an application for employment? I represent lots of employers. You know what they do? They run a background check on you. That's what they do. And if you've got open arrest warrants for you, and you're applying for a job in the sheriff's department, what do you think is going to happen? Yes, that's right. They gave her an all expense paid trip to the Gray Bar Motel. That's exactly what they did. So criminals are not diabolical geniuses. More often than not, they're just not very bright. And this proves my point. But no, back to this bigger issue. Eric Schmidt, candidate for Senate, he'll be the next senator from the state of Missouri. There's no way he's going to lose unless someone comes up with pictures of him with a goat. Otherwise, he's the next senator. Now, having said that, he has filed, along with the attorney general from Louisiana, has filed a massive lawsuit against the federal government. It's not getting a lot of attention, and it should, because it demonstrates how the federal government is using social media to squelch free speech. This is something I've talked about a lot before, but the reason why I'm bringing this up now is because Eric Schmidt and Louisiana Attorney General Jeff Landry announced yesterday that they've filed a second amended complaint, adding an additional 47 defendants within the federal government. They initially had 20 defendants. Now it's been expanded to 67 defendants within the federal government, including President Joe Biden. What are they arguing? Well, we all know it. I'll make it as simple as possible. We all know the argument. The First Amendment doesn't apply to private companies. It only applies to the federal government. So if Twitter wants to squelch your free speech, they can do that legally. It doesn't violate the First Amendment because they're a private company. However, if the federal government is telling Twitter to squelch your free speech, now that's a different ball game. Legally, that's completely different. Think about every mafia movie you've ever seen. Any mafia movie you've ever seen. There's always some kind of a scene where the feds are working with some informant and they put them in a wire and they send them in somewhere and he gets information on the bad guys. And that happens in every movie. But in those circumstances, when an informant is working for the federal government, that informant, the phrase is he or she is working under color of law. That phrase means is that they're essentially working at the request of the government, and therefore the same restrictions that apply to the government also apply to that informant. So there's no searches and seizures without a warrant, so forth and so on. So that kind of theory is really what's at stake here, because if Twitter or TikTok is squelching your free speech, then at that point, if they're doing it at the request of the federal government, it now violates the First Amendment. And this lawsuit has just expanded, like I said, to 67 defendants. And the judge in this federal case has already granted an expedited discovery phase. What does that mean? That means they get to send out subpoenas. They get to take depositions. They may even depose President Biden. Now, the president typically has an immunity to being deposed because the idea is that the president is too busy. The president has too many responsibilities and cannot take time to sit down for a deposition. I agree with that. But that may not apply to the president's chief of staff, Ron Klain, the presidential spokesperson. That kind of immunity doesn't apply to all of these other individuals. And I mentioned this in the context of just this week, TikTok has started censoring and kicking people off of their platform if they use the phrase "White Lives Matter." Now, we saw Kanye did this. He wore the shirt that said "White Lives Matter," and he got a lot of pushback about that. But now TikTok is saying we're going to kick you off the platform for saying that. Is that illegal to say "White Lives Matter"? No. Is it immoral? No. Is it unethical? No. Then why should social media companies be allowed to kick you off for simply expressing an opinion? Because you know what? White lives do matter. They don't matter more than black lives or brown lives or any other lives. But all lives matter. All lives matter. So if it's okay to say black lives matter, then why isn't it okay to say white lives matter or brown lives matter, or more importantly, all lives matter? And TikTok is kicking them off. Also, TikTok has constantly got battles. Twitter previously had battles with this company called the Libs of TikTok. Have you heard of this? This is a Twitter group. They've got a guy's got a Twitter page, and literally all he does, and I follow him on Twitter, all he does is that he takes TikTok or Twitter postings from individuals and he reposts them. He doesn't say anything. He doesn't add to it. He simply lets the progressive left say what they want to say, but to an audience, a broader audience than their closed in progressive group. And it's hilarious. And I would highly encourage you to listen to that. But if the federal government is encouraging the censorship of free speech, don't we want to put a stop to that in this country? Of course we do. Because the only cure for censorship is free speech, not more censorship. And that's what the left does not understand. But what you understand is that you're listening to Camel X, and I want to make sure you stick around, because at 10 o'clock, we've got the best of Dave Glover. Don't go away. I'll catch you next Wednesday at your service, Brad Young.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
A message from a former New Yorker presented by Street Easy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021 and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow, Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.